Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb. The ancient seal by heavy stone, Messiah's tear.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time. With no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, a 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars were made to worship so loud, I can see your heart. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, oh.
Madison Church. So glad to see you guys here in the house of the Lord this morning. We invite you to stand while we worship. For those watching at home, we invite you to worship right along with us and get into the presence of God together. Amen. Come on. I searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. Man's empty praise, treasures of faith, never enough. When you came along and put me back together. Now every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you. Oh, there's nothing, nothing is better than you. Somebody give him a shout of praise if you know that's true. Come on. And I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all and you still call me friend. Thank you, Lord. Because the God of the mountain, God
Your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Goodness of God.
Yeah. And all my
this place. You are faithful. You are holy. You are worthy of all praise. We glorify you in this place this morning. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. God, we worship you in spirit and in truth this morning. We give it all to you. You are worthy of it all, God. We thank you. We thank you that we serve an awesome God who is merciful and wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart.
And you think that there are things in your life that you just messed up too bad. that God can take care of it. But I want you to know that these words are singing about a God that not only lives in the heavens, but He is someone who will change and He will restore and He will turn your path from a path of destruction into a path of victory. And He will turn your path from a path of hopelessness into a path of a bright future. If you will turn your life over completely into His hands today, you'll begin to see, says the Lord. Don't go another day, says the Lord. Don't go another day on the path that you're on. But turn from it today, says the Lord, and begin to go my way in every area of your life. And as you do, there's going to be restoration that you've never dreamed of. There's going to be restoration in your family, restoration in your finances, restoration in the peace of God that floods your life. Maybe you knew it once and you don't know it now, but He says, I want to do it and I will do it. Just take a step right now. Just as we sing these words, say, I know God to be true, this to be true in my life. I give you everything and I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who you are. Hallelujah.
Give life. You are love. You bring life to the dark.
Are you?
beautiful atmosphere when we worship God together. You know, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. How wonderful to see you this morning. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you're part of the service today. Why don't you just take a moment, just greet somebody around you, and you may be seated. This morning, look good. Looks like you got up and cleaned up real good. Amen. Amen. Wonderful to see you in church today. I pray that you get everything out of the service that you need from the Lord today. It's funny how we can all be in the room and somebody will say, you know, the Lord really ministered to me in this area, and someone else in a different area. We all hear the word. And yet God ministers to us exactly what we need for that day, right? So good to be in church today. I want to welcome everyone present. As I said, those that are watching online, we're glad you're joining us this morning. People watch us from all over the world. And if you're watching on Facebook, go ahead and just tell us where you're watching from. Greet us. We really appreciate that. And to our Ascend Church members that aren't back in church yet, we miss you, we love you, and we think of you often. We can't wait to see you. If anything is keeping you away, that other than your health, just come on, come back to church. And if it is your health, come on, let us pray for you. That would be wonderful. But we want to welcome today also any new guests that we have. If you are here for the first time, I don't know, maybe someone invited you or you just decided to come in. If you're here today and it's your first time, would you mind just waving your hand that we can welcome you? Anyone visiting for the first time, God bless you. Welcome, welcome. So glad. Our ushers would have given you a bag with a few things in it, and there's a couple of things. One thing being this guest card, and if you, it says guest on that side. If you just take a moment and fill it out, at the end of the service we pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in. It really helps Pastor Steve. He'd love to meet you first, but to be able to give you a call, that's a real blessing. And then there's a couple of other things in there. We have a magnet, we have a few mints, we have a few things. But I want to remind you, there's also a card that tells you a little bit about what we're all about. And I'm going to remind you of our four purposes, but I want to say that during the service, we also pass a clipboard by. I had to laugh because this morning when I walked into church, Dave and Juju's son, Timmy, who's like eight, he was in the lobby and he had a clipboard and a pen. And he followed me around until I signed my name to go on the Christian Growth Seminar. I was like, good for you, Timmy. He's like not letting anybody go. Like, you are coming, aren't you? And then when I signed it, I said, you really pressured me into that. He's like, it's optional. It's optional. But it's like, good, we should give him the clipboards more. But anyway, we're going to pass a clipboard by, and that is like an attendance register. And you know, sometimes people are unsure about putting their name down or what have you. But you know, the Bible says that Jesus left the 99. It says a good shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. How do we know? Sometimes you miss that one is missing if you don't know who's there, right? So when it comes by, just fill your name in. And if you've got a change of phone number or something, just let us know. We'd appreciate it. Thank you. And anyone, if you are watching, go ahead and share. You can watch us on our mobile app. You can watch on YouTube. It's Ascend Church Jupiter. You can watch on Facebook, the Ascend Church Facebook page. Go ahead and you can like those pages. You can share them. You can share the service as it comes up. And I found when I've shared it that people in my world, you know, extended world, social media world, watch the service. that would never even be in the building. So go ahead and share that. We appreciate it. And then just to remind us of our four main purposes of our church. First of all, that you would know God. How many of you feel like you're coming to know God better than you did before, right? Second of all, that you would find freedom in every area of your life. Thirdly, discover your purpose. And lastly, make a difference in this world. So that's what we're all about. And I know there's so many things going on in the news and what have you, but we pray before the service, and we were praying for Afghanistan, and we just felt like it would be a good thing for us as believers to pray together. So I'm going to ask Pam Syke to just come and pray a prayer, and I want us to be in agreement today as we pray. Amen.
Before I pray, I just was reminded of the last time we were dealing with situations in the Middle East. And one of the most heart-wrenching things that I ever heard was a mother standing with her children, knowing that their end was very near. And she said, "Don't be afraid. There may be pain and blood, but soon we'll be with Jesus." Well, amen, yes. But the missionary that said that said, "I pray I never have to say that to my children or my grandchildren." So with that, we have the power and authority. We're going to join our faith today, and we're going to pray.
Yes.
On behalf of our brothers and sisters, we are one. We are one. And during worship, I saw people huddled in a dark corner, the families, but there was an angel with their wings open over them. So when we pray on behalf of our brothers and sisters, it's an honor to pray for them. Now I'm going to get really rough here because I can switch from a little crying grandma to a rip-roaring warrior. So here we go. So dear Heavenly Father,
yes,
we honor you, we adore you, and we realize that Jesus, you conferred your kingdom to us, and you said that we have power and authority. And so we take that power and authority today on behalf of our brothers and sisters in the Middle East, in Afghanistan. Just like you did it before, Father, when we read in a book where bullets would go through the soldiers' helmets, come out the other side, but it didn't even go through their head. Where the people who had the rocket launchers, the enemy had the rocket launchers, and they would just stop and scream because they saw a warring angels, and they dropped their weapons and ran. We decree and declare, Father, that when what happened in the past, you'll do it again. Where there was a bridge, where there was no bridge. Where there were army tanks going across the bridge, and the general later said there was no bridge there. It was a vision to thwart the enemy. So, Father, we thank you that even those pastors that are over there, even those people that were over there, where the soldiers knew that they needed to be baptized, and the pastor of the regiment was baptizing these soldiers in spit because they knew they needed to have the Spirit of the living God come upon them. So, Father, we decree and declare that those pastors rise up in boldness today, and wherever they are, where Holy Spirit, you lead them to where they are to gather. You lead them into safety. You whisper into their ears where they need to go for safety. And, Father, we decree and declare, just like before, that those enemies will run in terror because they are seeing the angels of the Lord. And, Father, we thank you as the authority of the believer. We send those hosts of angels over to protect and to war on being righteous. And we decree and declare that salvation will come to these people, that they will have a reckoning with the Most High God and realize that they need the one true God, Jesus the Messiah. And we decree and declare that the enemy will just stop and see the wonders of the Lord. We declare that what the enemy meant for harm, you will turn into good. We send those angels to war. We send those angels to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, you said we do not have the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And I declare that spirit of fear comes off of all our brothers and sisters. We declare right now in the name of Jesus that love, sound mind comes upon them, and that they will see the angels over them protecting them, that they will have peace. Holy Spirit, you are the one that brings the peace. You are the one that leads into all truth. We ask that you are comfort our brothers and sisters right now. And we declare it so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pam. Thank you. Praise the Lord. If you don't know, there are thousands of Americans right now stranded in Afghanistan trying to get back home. They are Christians. There are people that have become Christians over the last 20 years. One of the fastest growing churches in the world is in Afghanistan. And they are, the Taliban are going door to door looking for Christians. They're looking for people who helped Americans, and they're looking for Christians. And so that's why we're praying, because we're praying that God will supernaturally protect people. We're praying for supernatural soul conversions, that those Taliban will get saved, that angels will appear to them. That's what happened to Saul on the road to Damascus. He was on his way to throw Christians in jail. He had Christians arrested, and he had them murdered. And you know, it's interesting to me in the book of Acts, chapter 3 and chapter 4, when the church, the early church, was persecuted and they were being thrown in jail for preaching the gospel, they prayed. They didn't pray for the persecution to stop. They prayed that God would give them boldness to keep preaching his word, and that God would stretch forth his hand and he would do signs and wonders and miracles. That's what we pray for. We pray for a major move of God across Afghanistan, for signs and wonders and miracles to take place in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what we're praying for. So good morning, everybody. It's good to see you today. Tell your neighbor, I'm glad to see you here today. I want to welcome all of our first-time guests. I want to thank everybody who invited a guest. Thank you if you invited someone to come to church with you today. Let me tell you, everybody needs Jesus. And everybody, in, as far as I'm concerned, everybody in Jupiter needs to be at Ascend Church on Sunday morning. Let's not keep it to ourselves. On your chair, there's a little invite card, a little black card like that says, you're invited. I want you to take that card home with you. In fact, I want to ask you, grab that card, hold it in your hand right now. I want you to turn to someone. I want you to tell them, next week I'm bringing somebody with me. Let's try that again. Let's try that again. Hold that card in your hand and turn to your neighbor and say, next week, I'm bringing someone to the church with me. In fact, I'm bringing someone into church every Sunday with me. That's my prayer, is that every one of us will bring somebody with us every single Sunday to church, that we will not go to heaven alone, but we will take as many people as we can with us. You agree with that? Praise God. I want to thank the worship team for doing such a wonderful job today. What an awesome job today. I want to thank all of our volunteers who serve, all of our servant leaders. Today we had a little bit of a problem. We came in here and the lights weren't working. Some we didn't realize. I mean, it could be a lot of different things, you understand. And so anyway, praise the Lord. I'm so thankful for Miguel and for Chester, who figured it out before service. Something had been disconnected, and they reconnected it, and boom, we're back in business. So thank you, guys. Everyone who serves, we appreciate you. Amen. Are you ready for God's word today? I said, are you ready for God's word today? Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Truly, you have been good all of our lives, Lord. You have been good. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that your word brings freedom in our life. Jesus, you said that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing freedom today. I thank you for giving us understanding today. I thank you, Lord, for helping me and anointing me to speak your word today. I give you all the praise for everything said and done in Jesus' name. Say amen with me. Today I want to speak about created for connection. Say, I have been created for connection. It's easy to try and do life on your own. You know, we think we don't need any help. But let me tell you, you will not reach your highest potential by yourself. God has ordained people to come into your life, to strengthen you, to encourage you, and to help push you toward your destiny. Amen. You've seen those birds that fly, the geese that fly in formation. Have you ever seen that? They make that V. Have you ever seen the geese? They make this V. Do you know the reason they do that? It takes them 40% less energy to fly when they're in that V than when they're on their own. See, they could do it by themselves, but they understand this principle. They won't go as far if they fly solo. They go much faster and easier in community. And the scripture says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9, two people are better off than one. For they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But if someone who falls alone, they're in real trouble. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. The Bible says it's much better to have someone standing with you. That's part of the reason why you're here today, because we stand together and we strengthen one another and we pray for each other and we encourage each other. Isn't that right? You see, when you accept Jesus into your life and you give your heart to him, his life enters you, and the Bible says you are born again. You become a brand new person. And Jesus now lives in you, and you are now joined and connected to the Lord. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6 in verse 17, the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Say, I'm joined to the Lord. Say, I'm one spirit with the Lord. You see, the Bible says we now join to the Lord. We're one spirit with the Lord. But you're not just connected to the Lord. You're also became a part of his body, which is called the church. You are connected to a family of believers. You see, when you receive Jesus, you become one with him and you become connected to his body. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 in verse 25, in Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. Tell your neighbor, I'm connected to you. You connected to me. The Amplified version says we are all part of one body and members of one another. We're part of one body and we're members of one another. Ephesians 2 verse 19 says, now you are no longer strangers to God and foreigners to heaven. We're not a foreigner to heaven. We're not a stranger to God. But you are members of God's very own family. Say, I'm a member of God's family. You are a citizen of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. I am a citizen of heaven, and I am a member of God's family. You are connected to Jesus. You are connected to God's family. You are part of his body, the body of Christ on the earth. You are part of his body. Say, I'm part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, it says this, just as the human body is one, though it has many parts that together form one body, so too is Christ. So the God is likening his body to the human body. He says, for by one spirit we were all immersed and mingled into one single body, and no matter what our status is, whether we're Jews or non-Jews, oppressed or free, we are all privileged to drink deeply of the same Holy Spirit. It goes on to say, in fact, the human body is not one single part, but rather many parts mingled into one. If the foot were to say, since I'm not a hand, I'm not part of the body, is forgetting that it's still a vital part of the body. If the ear were to say, since I'm not an eye, I'm really not part of the body, it's forgetting it's still an important part of the body. Think of it this way. If the whole body were just an eyeball, how could you hear sounds? And if the whole body were just an ear, how could you smell different fragrances? It says God has carefully designed each member and placed them in the body to function as he desires. A diversity is required, for if the body consisted of a single part, there wouldn't be a body at all. So now we see that there are many different parts and functions, but it is one body. It would be wrong for the eye to say to the hand, I don't need you, and equally wrong if the head said to the foot, I don't need you. In fact, the weaker our parts, the more vital and essential that they are. It says the body parts we think are less honorable, we treat with greater respect, and the body parts that need to be covered in public, we treat with propriety and we cover them, but some of our body parts don't require as much attention. Instead, God has mingled the body parts together, giving greater honor to the lesser members who lacked it. He has done this intentionally so that every member would look after the others with mutual concern and so that there would be no division in the body. Say, God doesn't want any division in the body. In that way, whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one member suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of Christ, the body of the anointed one, and each of you is a unique and a vital part of it. Say, I am part of the body of Christ, and I have a vital part to play in his body. Isn't that what the scripture says? You are part of the body of Christ on the earth. The body of Christ is the church, and you need the body. And let me tell you, the body needs you. The body of Christ needs you, and you need the body. The church needs you, and you need the church. We need one another. Amen? I said, you need the church. You need the body. God never designed for you to sit home and watching preachers on television in isolation. God designed you to be part of a body and to take your place and to function in that body. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Isn't it interesting to me? As far as I'm concerned, the enemy is trying right now, because of this pandemic, to divide the body of Christ. To have us all sitting at home watching television. Over 30 times in the New Testament, the scriptures talks about one another. Here are some one another's that the Bible tells us to do. In Romans 12, verse 10, it says, be devoted to loving your fellow believers as members of one family. Be devoted to loving the members of your family. Try to outdo yourselves in respect and honor of one another. We should be trying to outdo each other in honoring and blessing and loving one another. Romans 12, verse 16. Live happily together in a spirit of harmony and be as mindful of another's worth as you are of your own. Don't live with a lofty mindset thinking you're too important to serve others, but be willing to do menial tasks and identify with those who are humble-minded. Romans 13, verse 8 says, love one another. Romans 14, 19 says, encourage one another. Romans 15, verse 7 says, accept one another. Romans 15, 14 says, instruct one another. 1 Corinthians 12, 25 says, have the same care for one another. Galatians 5, 13 says, serve one another. Ephesians 4, verse 2 says, be patient with one another and make allowances for each other's faults because of your love. You've got to be patient with me. And you've got to be patient with my faults, and I've got to be patient with you. Isn't that what it says? Ephesians 4, 32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Ephesians 5, 21, be supportive of each other in love. Philippians 2, verse 3, regard one another as more important than yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 4, 18, comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, encourage one another and build up one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 13, live in peace with one another. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15, always aim to show kindness and seek to do good to one another. Seek to do good to one another. Hebrews 10, 24, motivate one another to acts of love and good works. James 5, 16, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. There's freedom in relationships you don't experience on your own. 1 Peter 4 verse 9, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. 1 Peter 5 verse 5, all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. Show humility to one another. Now, how are we going to be able to obey all of those things, encourage one another, love one another, build up one another, be good to one another, serve one another? How are we going to do all those things if we are not committed and part of a local church? It's impossible unless you sink your roots deep and commit yourself to a particular local church for the long haul. If you're bouncing around from here to there, you'll never be in one place long enough to obey all of these commandments. Because let me tell you, there's no doubt you're going to have some challenges, problems, difficulties, conflicts along the way, but God's will is for us to stay and work them out. That's why the Bible says forgive one another. You know why? Because he knew you're going to have a chance to forgive one another. Be patient with one another, because he knew there's some people going to get on your nerves. Be patient with them. That's why he said it. Show tolerance for one another. Be kind to one another. Honor and live in peace with one another. God knew that we'd have some conflicts, but he expects us to work those things out. If there were no problems or conflicts in the church, then these commands would be meaningless. The bottom line is God wants us to live out our Christian life with one another as family. And when your brother or your sister in your family, let me tell you, if they do something that irritates you or is unkind to you, I hope you don't disown them and move out. I hope you work it out. Because let me tell you, you need one another's around you. Don't isolate yourself and think, well, I'm strong enough, Pastor Steve. I'm tough enough. I'm talented enough. I don't need nobody, just me, myself, and I. Listen, you may be for what you have in mind, but not for what God has in mind. God's got something bigger and more rewarding that you can't do just by yourself, just on your own. The question is, are you flying solo, or do you have a community of faith around you? People flying with you, watching over you, encouraging you, inspiring you, building you up. Amen. Because you're not going to become everything God created you to be without the right people around you. You may go 60% on your own, but when you get in formation, when you got a family of faith praying for you, encouraging you, supporting you, you'll go 40% further than you go by yourself. Let me tell you, Christianity is not something you do alone. You're not supposed to serve God in isolation. You need godly relationships. Many people are disconnected from the body of Christ. They don't think they need to be in relationship. Some think they don't need to be part of a church. I've heard people tell me, church isn't a building. Church isn't a building. Of course church isn't a building. Church is a body. It's a family. It's a community that meets together in a building. God's word says in Psalm 92 verse 13, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. God wants us to be planted in his house. I planted some palm trees in my backyard about 15 years ago. And can I tell you something? They're still planted. I've never gone out and those palm trees just move by themselves. No, they plant. You got to be planted in the house of God. Hebrews 10:25. Listen to what God's word says. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together. I want to say to all the people, all the Christians that are sitting at home, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together as some have formed the habit of doing. You see, the problem we got now is we got people in a habit. We got some Christians, they get up on Sunday, they don't even think about going to church. Dear God, have mercy. We've got Christians that get up on Sunday, they don't even think about going to church anymore because they're out of the habit. Well, I can just watch online. Yeah, you could, but do you? I guarantee you, you don't watch the whole service from beginning to end. I will guarantee you. You watch a little bit, and then you do this, and you watch that, and you have some toast, and you have some coffee, and you watch a little, It is not the same as being here in the house of God with the community of believers. It's not the same. I'm going to hit this hard. Now, I thank God for technology, and thank God when you watch online, you're out of town. I understand there's sometimes you can't get here. But that is not the substitute for being in the house of God. And if you do, trust me, if you don't listen to God, you're going to pay the price. The scripture says this is not the time to pull away and stop meeting together. Do you know when this was written? Do you know when they wrote the scripture? When they were coming around, you had a chance of getting arrested and thrown in jail when this scripture was written. And they said, this is not the time. When is the time? There is never a time to pull away and stop meeting together. It says, why? Let me read it again. This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need each other. Tell your neighbor, I need you. You need me. It says, in fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge one another onward as we anticipate that day dawning. What day? It's the day of Jesus' return, man. We're closer to it now than we were when this was written 2,000 years ago. It says this isn't the time to pull away. In fact, we should be meeting more than ever before. This was written during a time when Christians were being persecuted. They could be thrown in jail. They could even be killed. And God said, this is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting. And let me tell you, it's not the time now either. Today, churches are telling people who are sick. They tell people who are sick, stay home. If you're sick, stay home. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says in James 5:14, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If you're sick, don't stay home. Come here. I'll pray over you. God will heal you. We'll anoint you with oil. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise you back up. Listen, we either believe this or we don't. I either believe it or I don't. I would rather die trusting God than live doubting him. I'd rather die trusting. What are you so afraid of death anyway? The scripture says to be absent, it says to die is gain. To die is gain. I'm not dreading death. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. If you get one glimpse of what it's like on the other side, you'll never come back. The word connect means to bring together into contact, so there's a real link, to form a relationship, to join together. And the way to connect here at Ascend Church is firstly by serving on one of the teams. Get on one of our teams or be part of a connect group. I believe everyone should be serving on a team. When you start serving on a team, that's when you start connecting. You start making friendships. You start making relationships. I mean, I went with Bruce. Bruce went with me yesterday to, where you at, Bruce? He went with me yesterday, picked something up in Vero Beach, and we had a great time together. And he was just telling me when he came to our church and he got on the setup team and we're at the hotel. They'd be there 6:30 on Sunday mornings. There were six or seven guys and they'd meet. You were one of them. Like, was it 6:30? You'd meet together and you'd have to set up the whole hotel. And you told me you made such good friends with those guys. You told me you've got more friends now than you've had in your whole life. You're 70 years old and you've never had the group of friends like you have now since you've been coming to this church. Is that right? We're starting a new season of connect groups mid-September. And a connect group is a place where you connect with God, you connect with God's people. It's one of the best ways to grow spiritually is in a connect group. Because connect groups, they encourage participation. Connect group is not just where people encourage you, but it's where you learn to encourage others. You learn to be a minister. You learn to minister to others. Do you know that every one of us is called to be a minister for the Lord? Every one of us is called to minister for the Lord. Every believer. You see, on Sunday at church, not everybody has the opportunity to participate and to minister and encourage. But in a connect group, everyone gets that opportunity. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, when you gather for worship, each of you be prepared with something that will be useful to all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight. God has given you something that to share with somebody else. It says each of you. And that can happen. We can't each do that on Sunday. But in a connect group, like in the early church, they would meet together on Sunday and they would be ministered to by the fivefold ministry. And then during the week, they would meet together in one another's homes and they would encourage and minister to one another. Amen. Thanks. Move on for me. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It says they worshiped together regularly at the temple each day, and they met in small groups in homes for communion and shared their meals with great joy and thankfulness. In Acts 5, 42, every day in the temple and in their home Bible classes, they continued to teach and preach that Jesus is the Messiah. In Matthew 18, 20, it says, for where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them. Someone says, Pastor Steve, does that mean that he's not there if I'm by myself? No, it doesn't mean that at all. Jesus said he'd never leave us, he'd never forsake us. But the scripture talks over and over how the power and the special presence of God that is with us as we gather in community with other believers, there's just a greater presence, there's a greater power when you gather together. Why is it that Jesus is so interested in our relationships? Because if you study the life of Jesus, you'll see he was all about relationships. The reason is because real life change takes place in the context of relationships. Let me tell you, your relationship decisions are the most important decisions that you will ever make in your life. Can I tell you the one thing that has had the most influence on where you are right now in your life is the people that have been in your life, your relationships. I want to talk about the importance of biblical relationships in connect group. What is a connect group? A connect group is, thanks Marco. What is a connect group? You with me? Thanks Marco. A connect group is a group of people who commit to do life together, centered around the Word of God. They pray for one another. They support one another. They encourage one another. We discuss the sermon from Sunday. It's a participation. Ask questions. Share what God, you know, what I got out of it. And I believe that every single one of you, there's more greatness. There's more potential. There's more possibilities on the inside of you than what you've ever imagined. God, there are things in you that you don't realize. Within some of you, there's a future marriage that would honor God. There'll be generations of Christ followers that you will help raise. Some of you, there's a ministry that God wants to bring out to help people. Some of you, there's a business. There's a vision to make a difference, a business that could help people and bring a lot of money in to help ministries in the earth. There may be a book on the inside of you that needs to come out. In all of you, there's greatness. But the problem for so many, the one thing that they are missing is the right relationships in their life. Because you will never accomplish everything God wants you to accomplish without the right people around you. Are you with me? Some people say, well, Pastor Steve, if I've got God, isn't that enough? The scripture says in Romans 12, verse 5, since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. No, we need one another. That's what the Bible says. Tell the person next to you, you need me, and I need you. Deuteronomy 32, verse 30 says, how can one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? You see, two is not twice as good as one. Two is 10 times as good as one. And the opposite is true as well. Not only can the right people propel you in the right direction, but the wrong people around you can take you in the wrong direction. I really encourage you to evaluate your relationships. Because let me tell you, you are going to become like the people that you continually associate with. The scripture says in Proverbs 12, verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. Choose your friends carefully. The New Living Bible says the godly give good advice to their friends, the wicked lead them astray. Proverbs 27, verse 17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. In Proverbs 22, verse 24, it says, don't befriend angry people, or associate with hot-tempered people, or you will learn to be like them and endanger your soul. You hang around angry people, you'll end up being angry. You hang around critical people, you end up being critical. Hang around negative people, you end up being negative. Proverbs 13, verse 20, walk with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. You want to be wise? Hang around wise people. You hang around with, let me tell you, if you hang around people who gossip, complain, they're negative, they're unfaithful in relationships, I encourage you to do yourself a favor and find some new friends, because those spirits are transferable. Did you know that? If your friends are critical, critical spirits are going to end up on you. If your friends compromise, run around on their spouse, that unfaithful spirit will tempt you. You got to make a change. Paul told the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, he said, don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. That's pretty powerful. Bad friends will destroy you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. How can righteousness be a partner with wickedness? And how can light live with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Christ and the devil? How can a believer be a partner with an unbeliever? I mean, I see this all the time. I see young ladies start dating a guy who's not saved, doesn't know the Lord, not interested. And I try and tell them, man, you're making a big mistake. You're going to regret this. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. It's amazing to me how people will put everything else. They'll meet some person, and that becomes the most important thing in their life. They'll put God on the sideline. Let me tell you, keep God first in your life above everybody else. I know how important I am to my wife, and I know how important she is to me. But I know that God is before me in her life, and it's better be that way. I don't want to be above God in her life. That's a problem. I hear this from people who go to connect groups. They tell me all the time, man, I've never had such friends like I've made since I started going to connect groups. I want you to think about, what are the five most dominant voices in your life? What are you? Think about your five closest friends for a moment. Who are the five closest people to you? Who do you spend the most time with? Because if you want to see the potential in your life, look at the five most dominant relationships around you. If you show me the five most dominant voices in your life, I'll show you the trajectory of your life. I'll show you where you are headed in your life. You just show me who you're hanging around. Any area of your life, let's say your five closest buddies that work with you, they all hate their job, they hate the company, they hate the boss, they don't like this, nothing's fair, can't get ahead. Guess what? You've got a ceiling on your professional career, because that bad attitude is going to rub off on you, and you're not going to be moving, you're not going to be going anywhere. On the other hand, if the five people you work with, they all say, hey, man, I believe we can be promoted here. If we serve our company as we're serving the Lord, as we honor our boss, I just know that God's going to do great things for us. Let me tell you, I promise, those people are promotable. If you hang out with people that have an entrepreneurial mindset, people with the attitude, hey, man, we can make a difference in the world. There's money to be made. We can use it for the kingdom of God. You hang around with people like that, guess what? Your professional ceiling just went way, way up. Or let's take marriage. Let's say that you're married, and your five closest married friends all got messed up marriages. All the guys are going out, hanging at the bar, chasing after women. Or the wives, they disrespect their husband. He's a blah, 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 blah this. He's a blah, blah that. Let me tell you, your chance of a successful marriage are very small. But on the other hand, if your five closest married friends, they love God, there's godliness in their relationship, the men are laying down their lives to serve their wives like Christ did for the church, the wives love their husband, they respect their husband, guess what? If your five closest friends are like that, you're on your way to having a great marriage, because those voices will speak life into your marriage. Well, let's take your relationship with God. If all your friends are casual Christians and partiers, they call themselves Christians, but they don't live like it. Or maybe they're not Christians at all. If you hang around with people like that, it's going to pull you down. It's going to affect your life. If you hang around people who make the Word of God a priority, they're people of prayer, they're in church every Sunday, they're using their gifts to make a difference, guess what? You got kingdom greatness because of the people that are around you. Are you getting this today? Show me the five most dominant voices in your life. I'll show you where your life is headed. Why does this matter? Because when the right people gather for the right reasons, then God is there and the right things happen. I'm talking about the power of connection in your life. I'm talking about heart and soul relationships, people who are with you, heart and soul. That's what you see in the New Testament. When you read the New Testament, Acts 2:42 says they were like family to each other. The Passion Bible says their hearts were mutually linked together. It says in Acts 4:32, the company of believers was of one heart and soul. They were of one heart and soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to them was exclusively his own, but everything was common property for the use of all. And with great ability and power, the apostles were continuously testifying to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace rested upon them all. And it says there wasn't a needy person among them, because those who were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the sales and placed the money at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. The Bible says they met daily and they shared the word of God. If anyone had need, they sold something and they so that no one lacked anything. Other people, they saw this radical love that was being displayed, and they said, "Man, what do they have? I don't understand what they believe, but I like what they have." What did they have? They had heart and soul relationships. You know, Jesus said the world would know that we are his disciples because of the love that we show to one another. And let me tell you, connect groups is the purest form of the church. What I'm doing today in my life, the strength of my family, our spiritual strength has been modeled because we have the right people speaking into our lives. You need the right people around you to help give you the faith to do what God has put in your heart to do. You need the right people around you. Who are the right people? The right people are people who are with you heart and soul. I'm not talking about, hey, you know, I'm your friend on Facebook. I follow you on Twitter. 144 characters or less. Let's do life together. No, I'm talking about people who are in your life all the time, heart and soul. They are with you. They are for you. Because when you connect with the right people, people that are with you heart and soul, people that have the attitude that, hey, man, whatever God puts in your heart, I'm going to be there for you. I'm not leaving you. I'm not here for a while. And then, God, I'm with you from the deepest places of my life. I'm with you heart and soul. When you're afraid, I'll stand by you. When you're discouraged, I'll encourage you. When you're praying, I'm going to pray with you. When you have a need, I'm going to try and meet that need. I don't know about you, man. When I'm praying for a miracle, I don't want to pray by myself. I want some heart and soul prayer warriors around me, locking arms with me, shaking heaven with our combined faith. Amen. There's something about agreement that touches the heart of God. When people pray in agreement, it's powerful. Jesus said in Matthew 18:19, if two of you agree here on earth concerning anything they ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. If two of you will agree. When you go through a tragedy in life, and we all at some point face some kind of tragedy, you know what you need? You want some heart and soul people around you. When your teenage daughter comes home pregnant, or your kids get hooked on drugs, or some kind of tragedy occurs, you don't need some religious, judgmental, holier-than-thou church person to say, well, if you'd been a better parent, there must have been something in your life. I knew you weren't this and I knew you weren't that. No, what you need is someone who says, hey, baby, heart and soul, I'm locking arms with you. We're going to pray this thing through together. We're going to get godly counsel. We're going to see God take what the enemy meant for your harm. He's going to turn it around for your good. I want people like that around me. How about you? Someone is with you, man, heart and soul. If your marriage gets on shaky ground, what you don't need is someone taking sides with the wife or another one taking sides with the husband, driving the marriage more apart. What you need is some people who say, man, I'm with you heart and soul. I'm with you for your marriage. You're not getting divorced. We're not going to let the enemy steal your marriage. We're going to stick with you. We're going to love you. We're going to support you. We're going to pray for you. Heart and soul to the very end, baby. We are with you. That's what Connect Group is all about. The right people, heart and soul people. I've seen Connect Group members help one another. One Connect Group, it was a couple, they fell on some financial hard times. The husband had to have some treatments, couldn't work. Guess what? That Connect Group, man, they chipped in. They helped that couple out. You know what that is? That's the body of Christ. That's heart and soul. That's when the rest of the world looks on and sees the love we have for one another and says, man, that's the craziest thing I ever seen. That's the community I'd like to be a part of. That's others-centered, Christ-loving group of people. When one person's in need, they'll carry one another. That's heart and soul. Let me tell you, if you don't have the right people, I promise you, your potential is going to be limited. The missing ingredient for so many people in their life, What will make all the difference is having the right people around you. If you don't have the right people around you, you're going in the wrong direction. Some of you, you don't have the strength to make it. You're sinking. You're falling apart. Spiritually, you're flat. Your children going in the wrong direction. The enemy seems to be attacking you from every area. What do you need? You need some heart and soul people to come along your side and say, I will carry you. I will sustain you. I will stand with you. I will pray with you. I will believe with you. Can you say amen, somebody? Let me tell you as I close today, the reason why some people don't go to Connect Group. These are some things I hear. Some people are naivety. They don't know how much they need to be in Connect Group. They don't think they need it. They think, oh, I'm okay by myself, Pastor Steve. Listen, I do not want to go through life by myself. I want other people around me, helping me, standing with me. That's what Connect Group is about. Some people don't go to Connect Group because of their temperament. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm very shy. I don't have an outgoing personality. Listen, that's not a good enough reason. Or maybe fear. What's going to happen if I go? Some people are afraid of opening up to other people, afraid of a new situation. Number four. What's number four for me, Marco? Past experiences. Some of us have been wounded in relationships. And instead of healing that wound, our response is, well, I'm never going to let that happen again. And I understand that, but it's the wrong response because we mustn't let past experiences keep us from God's best and from God's will and from God's plan. We've got to work through some issues. Listen, if someone's hurt you, can I tell you what you've got to do? Forgive them. Well, don't say, well, I'm going to another church. That person, they really hurt my feelings. No, man, grow up in the faith. Grow up. Forgive that person. Amen. Let me tell you, you may go to Connect Group. There may be someone that irritates you. It's a very good chance that may happen. That's how you learn to love people. Also, the what I hear more than anything is busyness. I'm just so busy. I'd love to go to Connect Group, but I'm so busy, man. I'm so busy. I'm just so busy. I am just so busy. I'm busy, 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 busy. You may be busy, but how many things are we doing that are contributing nothing to our life? Don't let your schedule dictate how you live. When someone says, I don't have time to go to Connect Group, Pastor Steve, I'm too busy, I always want to say to them, listen, you don't have time not to have the right people in your life. You don't have time not to have the right people around you, standing with you and praying with you and believing with you. I need prayer. Let me tell you, I'm at a place where I can just drop everything and just say, Lord, I'm hurting, I'm overwhelmed, I'm struggling with this, I don't know what to do. Hey, I'm praying about it. What do you think? When I look at the Christian community today, I think the most gaping gap that I see is a lack of community, especially in what's happening in the world today, a lack of the right people in their life. If the five most dominant voices in your life are not lifting you closer to God, then your possibilities have been capped. But when the right people are inspiring you with God's truth and praying for you and lifting you, you'll go further than by yourself. If you want stronger finances, get around people who handle their finances well, who have wisdom with finances. If you want a stronger relationship, get around people that have a strong relationship. If you want to be closer to God, get around people who are closer to God. I pray that you will join a Connect Group and gather with the right people for the right reasons and watch God do the right things in your life. Whenever two or three gather together in His name, He's there in the midst of them. Amen? I want you to think about for a moment, do you have the right people closest to you? That doesn't mean, you know, when I say that, that doesn't mean, Marco, that you, I'm not saying you shouldn't have any non-Christian friends. No, we've got to, the Bible says we've got to let our light shine. We should have some people that we're ministering to who may be not Christians. But I'm talking about your inner circle, heart and soul, for better or worse, your people, my people. Nothing's going to separate us but death. I've got your arms. You've got my arms. I've got you, heart and soul. I'm with you. People like that. Every person needs that kind of community. We all need that place where everybody knows your name. If you're my age or older, maybe you remember that song from the sitcom Cheers. It was about a bar that was owned by a former Red Sox pitcher, and it became this hangout place, this TV show where they became like family. Because everybody wants to go to a place where they know your name. The theme song is making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. Let me tell you, it's unfortunate that that song was about a bar and not about the church. Like there was another song I heard. I love this bar, my kind of place. I'd rather sing, I love this church, man, my kind of place. Put a smile on my face. I believe God has designed the church to be the place where everybody feels welcome. They feel that community. I believe everyone needs to be in a connect group. Now, we're going to be starting connect groups up in mid-September. We're going to run them for 8 weeks. There'll be 8 weeks. And they'll probably be on a Wednesday night. Some of them may be on another night. And you may not be able to go every week, but I would encourage you to sign up and go as often as you can. We've already got 5 or 6 people committed to run connect groups. Tom and Anna, stand up for me, Tom. Tom and Anna are going to run a group up in Stewart. And then we have Mark and Stacy, stand up for me. They're going to run a group in Jupiter. And then we have Dave and Juju. Where's Dave at? Dave and Juju, stand up for me. They're at the back there. They're going to run a group in West Palm Beach. I didn't write all this down. Then Abel, who plays bass, he's not here today. He's going to run a group in Juno. Then I've got Miguel and Natalie and Joey and Jennifer, stand up for me. They're going to run a group in the Acreage. That's out there in the Acreage. We've got a group going place out there. That's 5 so far, right? So I would encourage you today, hand me that white card if you would, Tom. I would encourage you today, on your seat, there's a card like this that says Connect. Grab that. Take it in your hand. Show it to me. Wave it at me. Wave it at me. Everybody, every person, wave it. I want to ask you to fill this card out. Just put down your name and your phone number, and we will contact you, let you know where's the closest connect group to you. If you'd like to lead a connect group, I'm opening it up. If you'd like to lead a connect group, right on there, I'd like to lead a connect group. Or if you're willing to host a group, that means if you're willing to have a group meet in your home, you won't be the leader, but you'd like to make your home available, put there, I'd like to host a group. I'd like to lead a group, I'd like to host a group, or I'd like to attend a group. If you'll fill this card out, I want to get it back today. I really hope that every one of you will do this. I preach my heart out to you today. I preach the Word of God to you today. I hope that you will respond today by saying, yes, Pastor Steve, I'm going to be a part of Connect Group. 8 weeks, September, October, we're going to have 8 weeks of Connect Group. Even if you can't get in every one, come as often as you can. I promise you right now, it'll really make a difference in your Christian life when you get in that community of a Connect Group. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to fill the card out, and I want you to give it back before you go home. You can drop it in the offering bag. You can drop this card in the offering bucket, as it comes by in a little bit. Just take that card, put it in the offering bucket. How many of you are going to fill out that card? Hold up your hand. Let me know I didn't preach for nothing here today. Hold up your hand. Hold up your hand. If you don't hold up your hand, I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going all day long. If you don't hold that card up with it filled in, I'm going to keep going. Lock the doors, please, Joseph. Praise God. Also, hand me that green card. I mentioned this last week. I want to start a Christian growth seminar. It's a 4-week Bible study course that I teach, and it'll be on a different night to Connect Group. And if you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, I mentioned this last week, please fill out this Grow card. It's in the seat back in front of you. Big green card says Grow. If you haven't done the Christian Growth Seminar, come do it. It's a life-changing Bible study course. It really is. Everybody needs to do that. So praise the Lord. Did you get something out of today? You got something out of this today? Where's Joshua today? Where's your dad today? Where's Joshua today? You know where he is? I was going to call him up. He told me, man, we'll have to keep it for next week. We'll keep his testimony for next week. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I need you. You need me. Tell him we're connected.
Just made me think this week we had a couple of things happen, more than these, but two things that I thought about. A young lady in our church, a single mom, Natasha, she contracted COVID and she had to be quarantined. And so they made her quarantine her four children with her. She got no family, no help, and she's home with these kids ranging from 3 to 14. And, we just put out a group text amongst the children's church teachers and a couple of other ladies. They're providing groceries, meals, activities for the kids, just like that. Just immediately a community came around her. And then we had, Tony. Tony is such a blessing to us. He had surgery this week. Same thing. Group text, people praying for him, helping him, doing, encouraging him, thanking God for, every good report that comes through. It's just amazing to see. I love that. And it's not just about what can I get out of it. You are a vital part to somebody else, right? Amen. Anyway, this is a time in the service where we have the opportunity to give to the Lord. And, our church is financed by the tithes and offerings of people, members of our church, and other people that are blessed by the ministry, right? And there's various ways to give. There, you can give with the envelope that's right there in the seat. You can give on ascendchurch.us. Those that are watching, you can give on Facebook. You click on give, it'll take you straight to the link. Give on our mobile app. You can give by text giving. I asked them to add that, the cash app, because I like that. If I'm somewhere and I want to give cash just really easily, you can just give to church. It's the $ church ascend. And then some people give on PayPal as well. So go ahead and make those. We made those available just to make it easier for you. Don't pass the offering bucket, please. They pass the offering buckets. Otherwise, there's no point in me saying anything. We're going to send them back, right? I want to read you a scripture first. Luke 8, verse 1. We base everything we do on the Word of God, right? It says, soon afterwards, Jesus began a ministry tour throughout the country, visiting cities and villages to announce the wonderful news of God's kingdom. His 12 disciples traveled with him, as did a number of women who'd been healed of many illnesses and set free from demonic power. One of the women was Mary, who was from the village of Magdala. We went there. And from whom Jesus had cast out seven demons. Among the women were Susanna and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, who managed Herod's household, and many other women who supported Jesus' ministry from their own personal finances also traveled with him. Isn't that interesting? That Jesus was ministering to people, but God brought people around him that had been ministered to, they had received from the Lord, and they supported his ministry, and it says they supported him from their personal finances. That's how Jesus' ministry was supported. Didn't have money rain down out of heaven or just like, out of a rock. It came through the hands of people. And so if you've been blessed by this ministry, it's biblical to support the work of God. That's the way that God designed it. So if you want to get ready to give, we so appreciate those tithes and offerings. People are faithful. There's nothing like, I tell you what, we're singing about God being faithful. God's happy when we're faithful, yes. Right? And so the faithful giving. Do you want to pray over the offering?
I do. I want to pray over the offering. That's right. Before we pass the buckets, we want to pray.
Right.
Before you do that. So just hold your envelope. If you're giving by envelope, hold it in your hand. We felt like we wanted to pray for people who have their own businesses. Right. We wanted to pray. How many business owners are there out there? Just wave your hand at me.
Quite
a number of business owners.
Stand up if you own a business.
Would you mind? We want to pray over the business owners because I was talking to Joshua Sodone, who's not here today, but he's usually always here. He'll be here next week. And last Sunday, I was talking to him after the service out in the parking lot, and he said to me, "You know, Pastor Steve, one year ago, I was borrowing money to pay my bills. Now I'm employing 5 people, and I'm looking for premises to open my own store. He does flooring." I just love to hear testimonies like that, don't you? And so I want to pray over all the business owners, because let me tell you right now, like Jill said, how'd you like to be one of those women that supported Jesus' ministry financially? How'd you like to get to heaven and Jesus said, "Man, thank you for supporting my ministry, Joanna. Thank you for your giving." I wouldn't have, they supported Jesus' ministry. Well, do you know you can be one of them? You can be one, get to heaven, and Jesus says, "Thank you for supporting my ministry."
There's a lot of them sitting right here.
That's right.
Right. Now, right?
That's right. So I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you for these business owners.
Yes, Father.
I thank you. You promised, Lord, to make us the head and not the tail. You promised,
yes,
Lord, to bless and prosper all the work of our hands. Father, I thank you right now for the windows of heaven that are open above their business.
Thank you.
I thank you for pouring blessing upon them.
Yeah.
I thank you for bringing new clients to them.
Yes.
I thank you for giving them favor in their business,
yes,
for giving them wisdom, Father.
Thank you, Father.
I thank you for just supernatural things that happen, supernatural things that occur, Father.
Yeah.
I thank you, Lord, that you are with them. You've given them the power. You've given them the ability to make wealth, to establish your covenant.
Yes.
I thank you, Father, right now for blessing these business owners, for blessing every giver, every tither in this church.
Yeah.
I thank you for bringing promotion.
Yeah.
I thank you for opening doors of blessing. I thank you, Father, right now that you said that when we honor you and when we bring the tithe into your storehouse, that you would open the windows of heaven and you would pour blessing upon us, and you would rebuke the devourer.
Thank you
for blessing these businesses, blessing every giver, blessing every tither, in Jesus' name.
And I just call in new contracts, large contracts.
Yes.
Father God, thank you that your favor causes them to stand out amongst other businesses that are trying to get these contracts. Father, let them stand out.
Yes.
Father, I thank you for their employees. I thank you that you give them faithful, strong, hardworking, honest employees, Father. We thank you for it. We pray for a miraculous increase in their business. We pray between this date and a year from now, Father, that each one will be able to turn around and say, "I see the miraculous hand of God upon my business." Multiply in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can go ahead now. Pass the offering back to them. You can go ahead now, ushers. Is that what you wanted to say? Is this me? Just so I'm going to dance. Anything else I want to mention? Please be sure to put in your. I know that's what I'm waiting on. Please be sure to put that connect card that you filled out in the bag on the. In the bucket, and the grow card for the Christian Growth Seminar. Be sure to put that in there as well. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, "I'm glad you were here today. I'm glad I was here today. I'm glad you were here today." Would you stand up with me, everybody, as we close in prayer? Could I ask you to stand up with me for a moment? Just bow your heads as we pray. Everyone, let's just bow our heads before the Lord today. While we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I want to pray today for anyone who's here. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is right between you and the Lord, let me ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for certain? Can you say you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Or if you were honest, would you say, "Pastor Steve, I hope I'd go to heaven if I died today. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such and such a church." Listen, I'm not asking you if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking you if you believe in God. What I am asking you is, are you sure that if you died today, that you would go to heaven? Because the good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here today knowing that all is right, all is well between you and God, knowing that every mistake Every sin you ever committed, it's forgiven and washed away. You can walk out of here today knowing that when you die, heaven is where you are going to spend all of eternity. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to step out. But right where you're standing, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me in that prayer that you're about to pray. I want to make sure that everything is right and well between me and God. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you, friend, that heaven is a real place. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. If you want to be included in this prayer that I'm about to pray right now, just lift your hand up high. Just raise your hand. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised up, then you're included in this prayer this morning. Thank you. God bless you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see your hand. Just lift it up high. Thank you, Lord. I want everyone who lifted your hand, I want to ask you, please say this prayer with me. In fact, can we all please say this prayer together? The Bible says in Romans 10, in verse 9, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Say, dear God, I thank you that you love me so much that you sent your Son, the Lord Jesus, to come to this earth, to give his life, to die on a cross for me. I believe, Jesus, you are alive. And I ask you to come into my life, forgive me, save me. I confess, Jesus, as you are Lord of my life. Say, from today, I'm going to follow you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, because I have received you. I am now saved. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. God, you are my Father. I'm your child. Heaven is my home. My name is written down in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you agree with that, say amen. I want to ask you, if you lifted up your hand, I want to congratulate you. We have a gift we want to give you before you leave today. We have some of our counselors, our volunteers. They saw you lift your hand. They're going to get over to you real fast. If you could just wait right where you are. We want to get that gift to you. We'll see you next week. Don't forget, take that invite card. Say, I'm bringing someone to church next one Sunday. Tell your neighbor, I'm bringing someone to church next Sunday. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday. Thanks, Miguel.